How do we love God? I know how to love my wife. I know how to love my spouse. I know how to love my kids. I even know, kind of can figure out what it means to love my neighbor. But how do I love God? What does it really mean to love God? And again, Jesus said that's the most important thing. It's the greatest commandment. It's to love God with all our heart and soul and mind. And how do we do that? So that's what I want to explore this morning. It's where we want to be this morning, how to love God. Now, before we read our text, a couple of things. I want to tell you, loving God's a choice. We've developed this thing in our culture that love is just something, you know, somebody hits you with a magic wand and honestly, I love them. I can't help myself. I love that person. Or we wake up and say, oh, I don't love them anymore. No, love is a choice, okay? If God commands us to love Him, then it is an act of obedience, which means it's a choice. So loving God is something we choose to do. It's a command. We either obey that command or we disobey it. We either decide I'm loving God, or we decide I'm loving self, or I'm loving worldly things more than I love God. You know, Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. You can't love God or mammon. Meaning we can't love God or material things or money. It's a choice. So loving God's a choice. And then the second thing kind of that we need to make sure we understand is that loving God is a response. We love God because God first loved us. And so loving God's a response. It's a response to who God is. It's a response to His worthiness, to His glory. It's a response to everything He has done, everything He is doing, and everything He is going to do. So loving God's a response. We love Him, again, because He first loved us with a love that is so amazing and so great that to realize His love and receive His love is overwhelming. And if you're not overwhelmed by God's love, you've not yet come to grips with the greatness of your own sin and the need for God's grace and love, and you've not really come to grips with how great God's grace and provision is. One of the things, you know, Jesus told a guy one day, he said, who loves most, the one who's forgiven much or the one who's forgiven little? And the guy said, well, the one who's forgiven the most. And so when we realize how great our sin is, it opens up the capacity for us to realize how much God truly has loved us and to respond to that love by loving Him. So loving God's a choice and loving God is a response. But we're going to look at this text. We're going to look at the words of Jesus and see if we can find some more things here that the Bible says about what it means to love God. So let's look there in John chapter 14. Jesus is talking to the disciples. It's his last hours, minutes with them before he goes to die for them on the cross and die for you and me. And he's talking to them. And in verse 15, he says this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Then he starts talking about the Holy Spirit, and he says some other things there, and then you get down to verse 21, and he says something again, very similar to what he says in verse 15. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So the disciples are listening. In verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, asked a question. He said to Jesus, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourselves to us and not to the world? And so verse 23, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. What I'm telling you, Jesus says, what I'm saying to you here, these are the words of God the Father. So let's go back there to verse 15 again, where we started. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And that's where Jesus starts here, as he starts talking about loving him and loving God. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then we move down. He said in verse 21, whoever has my commandments and what keeps them, that's the one who loves me. And again, the one who loves me is going to be loved by my Father. And then verse 23, he kind of puts it together. He says, if anybody loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, will come to him and make our home with him. But whoever doesn't love me does not keep my word. So if you love me, you'll keep my word. And if you don't, well, if you don't love me, you will not keep my word. So what I see here is that if you love Jesus, Jesus is saying, if you love me, you will love following the word. If you love me, you will love following the word. I think if you love God, you're going to love his word. You know, mom and dad are in assisted living, and I know some of you know dad's in the hospital, and it's pretty really hard on mom, and things aren't really going. You know, when he went to the hospital, we really thought it was just a matter of getting his potassium up, and we found out there's other issues and other things going on, and it's going to be a while. So appreciate your prayers for mom and dad. But you know, I've been cleaning out things at mom and dad's house, trying to get it ready to sell, and I found their letters from like 1949 and 1952, and letters that mom wrote dad, and I think there's a couple letters in there that dad wrote mom. I told dad the other day, I said, I found a stack of letters mom wrote. He said, did you read them? and I said, well, I read one of them because I had this stack and I just really wanted to see, you know, what they were just full disclosure, it was the end of the semester. Dad had already gone home from school. They were students at SIU, and she was waiting for her ride home, and it hadn't come yet, and she was telling him, I thought I was going home today, but I'm still here. And but you know, they why do you keep a letter that was wrote so many years ago? It's because you love the person who wrote it. Because you treasure the word of the one you love. They never threw any Christmas cards away either. I've got a garage full of trash bags full of Christmas cards and birthday cards, and you know, just, you know, they never threw anything away, I don't think. But you keep the words, they're dear to you, of the one you love. And so if you love God, you're going to love his word. You're going to want to read the Bible, and you're going to hunger and thirst for the Bible, and you're going to love following that word. I want to say this to you, that loving God and obeying God, they're not the same thing. Jesus said, the one who loves me is the one who keeps my word. And he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But so loving God and obeying God are not the same thing. Loving God produces obedience. And I think it's possible to attempt to mechanically obey the commands of the Bible without really loving God. But you know what? That doesn't work. Because trying to follow the rules and the commandments, but not loving God, not loving Jesus, that doesn't produce joy. That doesn't produce peace. It does not bring the blessings of that relationship, of that personal relationship with Christ, that personal relationship with God in our life. But you know what that produces when we just mechanically try to obey the rules without loving God? It doesn't produce joy. It produces self-righteousness. It produces a, a spiritual arrogance. It can lead to a critical spirit towards other people that you perceive as being less obedient than yourself. It can lead to a spiritual coldness where the Holy Spirit is just not there. Because you don't love God, Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit have not come to live with you. So loving God and obeying God is not really the same thing. And I also want you to see this, that loving God, even though we're saying that when you love God, you will obey God. When you love God, you love following His Word. I want you to see this, that loving God isn't just simply a matter of doing worthy things. It's a matter of delighting in our worthy God. Loving God isn't a matter of doing worthy things. It's a matter of delighting in our worthy God. And then as you delight in God and you delight in His Word, that results in a desire to please Him with your actions and your words and even your thoughts. And so again, you love God by loving His Word and by following it. I also think that when Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, that there's some other things that come besides. And I don't want to use that word besides because it makes it sound small, because loving God, loving Jesus, and keeping His Word is of great priority. But also, you will love God's presence. If you love God, you will love God's presence. We didn't read it, but if you go back here to chapter 14 and after Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, He starts actually talking about the Holy Spirit. If you've still got your Bible open, look there at verse 16. Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So he's talking about loving Him and obeying Him, and then suddenly He starts talking about the Holy Spirit being with us, and that God's going to give us the Holy Spirit. And you read down a little farther, and He says, you will know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. So if you love me, the Holy Spirit's going to be with you and will be in you. And we read verse 23, and if you look at it again, He says that my Father, the one who loves me, that my Father will love him and come to him, and we will make our home with him. So do you see that? Jesus ties his presence, the Father's presence, the Holy Spirit's presence in our life with loving him. And if you love me, you're going to have the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you're going to have my presence in your life. And it just makes sense, because if you love someone, you love their presence. And if you love God, you love their presence. You know, that promise, if God is going to give us the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful, amazing, because if you love God, you want His presence. And so it's good news. I love God. God says if I love Him, He's going to give me the Holy Spirit. He's going to come and live with me. And that's great news. You want God to live with you if you love Him. At the hospital this week, and Mom, you know, dealing with the dementia and those things, and it's time to go, and she's realized Dad's going to stay here, and she's going to go somewhere else. And she said, you mean he's going to be in this building, and I'm going to be in another building? You mean I can't stay here with him and he can't go where I'm going to be? You know, because she loves him and wants to be with him. And that's what happens when you love somebody. I remember I was in college at SIU and was working in Carbondale, and Pam was living in Pinckneyville. And so we didn't see each other every day. But you darn well better believe we saw each other every weekend, because I made sure I got in my car and went to see her. And she was always there. So I guess she wanted to see me too. So, you know, when you love someone, you're falling in love, you want to be in that person's presence. If you love someone, you don't get to this place where, you know, I don't care if I go, don't see them. When you love someone, you want their presence. And so if you love God, you love His presence. So loving God produces a desire to enter His presence. I want to enter the presence of God. I want to be with Him. I want to talk to Him. And so when you love God, loving God produces a prayer life. You love God and you want His presence, so you go to Him in prayer, seeking His presence. And you go to His Word, seeking His presence. And you go to worship, seeking His presence. Because you love Him, you want to be with Him. And I want you to see this, that loving God results in the activity of the Holy Spirit. Loving God results in the activity of the Holy Spirit. The more we love God, the more we seek His Spirit, the more we pray, both time on our knees and on our face or in our recliner, talking to God, listening to God, and just desiring God. And the more we love God, the more time we spend in an attitude of prayer as we just go around about living our life. And wherever we go, we're thinking about God. And we're listening to the Holy Spirit. And we're looking for leadership. What do I do here? What does God want me to do now? Father, help me with this. So loving God brings us into prayer life. And if we love God, Jesus says He will send you the Holy Spirit. The loving God increases the activity of the Holy Spirit in our life. And that praying and this prayer attitude produces God's presence in our lives. And He comes to us, and the voice and the power of the Holy Spirit will become more real and more active in our church and in our homes and in our work and in our relationships and in our witness, as we love the presence of God. So you love God by praying and desiring to be in His presence. Also, if you love God, you will love to worship. If you love God, you will love to worship. Let's just put this out here. If you find worship boring or a drudgery, then something very important is missing in your relationship with God. You see, we honor what we love. We honor what we love, and we honor most what we love most. You know, I almost always, when I hear somebody who has a problem with worship, it almost always comes, the issue almost always comes down to that person's preferences about worship. Their focus on worship is focusing on what they like. The music they prefer, the kind of preaching they prefer, the form and style of worship that they prefer. And so we've got our focus, instead of being on the one we were worshiping, we've turned our focus inward, and it causes us to be dissatisfied with the worship. If your focus is on God, God will not dissatisfy you. You will never find yourself unsatisfied with God unless you've somehow turned that around inward and you're saying, well, I'm not getting what I want. Again, you're looking at yourself. The only time we will ever find ourselves unsatisfied with God or unsatisfied with the worship of God is when we are looking at what we want and what our preferences are rather than just focusing on the greatness of our God. So we need to be focusing on this God that we love. Well, you know, this song is not my favorite song, but I'm going to sing it to honor God and show my love to Him. And the preaching, well, I've heard better. But it's the Word of God. The preaching's based on the Bible. So I'm going to honor God by drawing near and listening and praying so I can hear what God wants me to hear from this message. It's hot in here or it's cold in here. And believe it or not, it happens it's one or the other for different people every Sunday. You know, it's the same temperature, but there are people who are hot and there are people who are cold. It's hot or it's cold or somebody's coughing or they're moving around. And yes, I know those things can be distracting. But the goal is to worship in spirit and in truth. And so when distractions like the temperature or something is happening that we need to discipline ourselves to not focus on that distraction, but instead to keep our focus on the God we love and that we love to worship. What's the Bible say? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I'm pretty sure that every time David went to the house of the Lord, they didn't sing his favorite song. I kind of guarantee you that every time David went to the house of the Lord, there were things that could have distracted him. But because he loved God, he was always glad to go and worship. So you love God by loving to worship him. And I also believe this to be true, that if you love God, you will love the church. If you love God, you will love the church. You might remember a few years ago, there was a young preacher that went viral and got tons and tons, probably millions of hits on YouTube with his little video, I love Jesus, but I hate the church. We showed a little clip of that in our service when it was hot and everybody was looking at it. But you know what? I love Jesus, but I hate the church. No, you don't get to do that. I'll tell you why. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. That's a pretty common theme and teaching in the New Testament, especially in the writings of Jesus, of Paul, in the letters of Paul. And there are a lot of verses, several verses that teach that the church is the body of Christ. I'm going to just ask you to look for a moment. Colossians chapter 1, in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 18, Paul says about Jesus, he is the head of the body, the church. So some of the places where he talks about the body of Christ, you don't read the word church, but right there you sure do. He is the head of the church. He is the head of the body, which is the church. And then you read down a little farther in that same chapter, Colossians chapter 1, you get to verse 24, and Paul has changed his tone just a little bit. Now he's talking about himself and his ministry and what he's gone through for the gospel and what he's gone through for Jesus, and what he's gone through, his suffering for the church. And he says, in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. So you don't get to love Jesus and hate his body. You love God, you love Jesus, you will love the church. Not only is the church the body of Christ, the church is the bride of Christ. The book of Revelation has repeated references to the marriage feast of the Lamb and to the bride, the wife, the bride of the Lamb. And of course, Jesus is the Lamb and the church is the bride. And I don't have time to explore everything that means and why the Bible refers to the church as the bride of Christ. But let us just this morning, as we're talking about how to love God, let it suffice to say that if you love Jesus, you don't get to hate his bride. Now, I know that the church is made up of imperfect people. and the church, both as individuals in the church and the church collectively as the church. We make mistakes, and the church sometimes messes up, just like every one of us does. But I do know this, that Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. I think that's in the Bible. Meaning Jesus loves the church and he died for the church. So if you love God, you will love the church. You love God by loving the church. And then one more thing. If you love God, you'll love people. You will love people. You know, then this makes all the sense in the world. Jesus said that the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. God loves people, so we love God, so we love the people that God loves. In fact, if we do not love people, we do not love God. Do you hear that? If we do not love people, we do not love God. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21 says this, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. I can't say it any plainer than that. If you do not love your brother, if you do not love people, you don't really love God. In fact, John says, if you claim you love God and you don't love people, you're a liar. You don't really love God. What are you lying about, that you love God? So if we do not love people, we don't love God. So if we love God, we will love people. And then this last thought here, love in action to others is love in action towards God. You know, it's one thing to say you love everybody and you love people. And I love everybody in Christ. You know, I like that little thing you add on there. Well, I love you in Christ. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't love you. But I love you in Christ. It's one thing to say you love people, but it's another thing to actually put that love into action. It's one thing to say you love God. It's a whole other thing to put your love for God into action. And so Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is talking about the judgment, the final judgment. And I sometimes have called this passage the Great Compassion. We've got the Great Commandment. We've got the Great Commission. I call it the Great Compassion. And he's talking about the final judgment, and he says, I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And these people said, well, when did we do that? And Jesus said, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Loving people, putting love for people into action is love in action towards God. And when it costs you something, it costs you your time, or it costs you some money, or it costs you something relationally to help people, and you put yourself out there at risk to help somebody that Jesus loves, Jesus takes note of that. And he says, it's as if you did that to me, for me. I don't know if you've ever been in this situation where one of your kids or somebody somebody that you really, really care about was in great need. They had a need and you weren't there to help them. But somebody else did. Somebody else did. Do you remember how greatly you appreciated that? That somebody helped them when you couldn't? And it's almost as if they did it for you. And that's what Jesus says. When you help these people, and it's not just limited to food and water and strangers and prisoners and people who need clothes. It's anything they need. Jesus says, when you do it for the least of these, my brothers, it's as if you've done it for me. If you love God, you'll love people. So how do you love God? How do you love God? Well, you love God by loving and by loving His Word and obeying His Word, by following His Word. How do you love God? You love God by loving to pray and loving His presence. How do you love God? You love God by loving to worship Him, to exalt Him, to praise Him, to honor Him. How do you love God? Well, you love God by loving His church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. And you love God by loving people. That's how you love God. Heavenly Father, when we think about ourselves and we think about who we are and what we've done and the things we've kept hidden even from people who know us best, and yet, Lord, You love us. And we've rebelled against You. We've broken Your law. We've not always kept Your commandments, and You sent Jesus to die for us on the cross. And while we were yet sinners, You manifested Your love for us, and that Jesus died for us. Lord, You love us so much, more than our human words can describe. We don't have anything else to compare it to. Your love is greater than any other love that we know. So, Lord, in response to Your love for us, we want to love You back. And, Lord, we want to learn to love You more. That our love for You could be described as a growing love. Just as a married couple that's been married for 65 years can look at each other and say to each other, I love you more today than the day we got married. Lord, may our love for You just grow. Lord, speak to our hearts. Your Holy Spirit is here. Speak to our hearts.